Hare Krishna Prasthava Tile Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Namaste Sasami Radhi Pshkati Devatane. Our Maharaj spoke about how Krishna helps so much when we engage in Krishna Katas, when we are eager especially to hear about Him. So the two processes of hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees in a holy place and in front of deities, and we have one of, this is probably the biggest deity in the world over here. So this combined together, this is the five potent processes of bhakti that even if we give a little attention to, will affect our consciousness, affect our hearts. So Maharaj spoke about that side, and he hinted about what our responsibility in the process is by saying about Gokarna and, how do you pronounce it?
Dundukari.
And how he was liberated from his terrible situation due to his attentively hearing about Krishna. So that is recited. This pastime is usually recited at the beginning of every Bhagavat recital to remind us how important it is that to do our part in the recital. And our part again is the attentiveness of the hearing. I would like to mention something in regard to that, that is somewhat parallel, but somewhat a little bit different from that point as to what our part is. And that point is that, and Maharaj also hinted about this, that somehow or another we should bring our body and hopefully our minds also to the Krishna Katha. Now, we're not used to hearing about Krishna and chanting and such concentrated activities for so many hours a day. So what usually happens at certain times is that the mind, we say, now it's time to hear, and the mind says no. And sometimes the body will also say no, and sometimes it will have a proper reason, and sometimes it will manufacture out of its great resourcefulness an excuse or a reason. But what I would like to say, or add to what Maharaj said, and also what Jagatrini, what did he said, is that we should really take advantage of this time, that in all circumstances, this is such a rare opportunity that we have, that we're here, we've traveled a great distance. It's so rare that we, practically speaking, have nothing else to do except hear or chant about Krishna. Now, how often does that happen? So we're in this situation, and what we should do when the mind is disturbed or it is lazy, we should turn to Krishna. We should turn to Krishna, which means hearing about Krishna, putting the mind in the presence and the body in the presence of the sound vibration. Join in as best we can. Turn to Krishna consciously. Turn to Krishna. Turn to Giriraj. Pray to Srila Prabhupada. Pray to the Vaishnavas. Engage the great struggle in spiritual life is the turning to Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami describes this is the purpose of sadhana bhakti, of all the practices, because right now we've turned away from Krishna. Oh, I'm going to do it because I have a cramp in my leg anyway, so I'm going to stand up. Oh, ow! Oh, okay. Thank you. So what are you doing? But see, we have turned away from Krishna. Now, even though this is part of the show, so to speak, but how does it feel when someone turns their back on you? It doesn't feel good. It feels like they've turned their back on you. So it's somewhat of an insult. So similarly, Krishna, it is not good for us. And it, because upperada, offense, means insult, basically. We thought, oh, this is an offense. But it, offense, what we mean by that is an insult, making the person feel bad in the relationship. So when we've turned our back on Krishna, and we suffer because of that, and we see the shadow, like when we turn our back on the sun, we see the shadow of ourselves. We see the shadows of everything, and those shadows are very long. And we get captivated by the world of shadows. So rather than studying the land of shadows, what we have to do is turn to Krishna. So this is the facility for hearing about Krishna. Is there for all of us. The facility to turn towards Krishna is there for all of us. And the mind will certainly provide a facility to avoid that. It always does. Invariably it does. So the great challenge that we should be conscious of in during our time together here is to turn to Krishna. Don't waste time. Turn to Krishna. Turn to Krishna. Be there, and be there with an open mind and an open heart to receive mercy. More or less, expect mercy. Expect miracles. Expect transformations. Expect realizations. Expect a change of heart. This is why, practically speaking, we've come here. Or the best of all the reasons we've come is to have a heart change. For emphasis. A heart change that deflects us from being averse to Krishna, to God, to the Supreme Personality, and absorbed completely in our own illusion, in the shadows of existence. And to turn to Krishna and join in Krishna's pastimes. Make that attempt, that turning. So that is the purpose of sadhana bhakti, the practices, to move us forward in the turning towards Krishna. Now, in the Bhagavatam, in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, which is the preparatory, all the nine cantos are basically preparing us, giving us the conceptions, the purification, to bring us to the point of being with Krishna and Vrindavan and being in the right consciousness when the pastimes of Krishna are described. So Maharaj Prickett was in that life or death situation, and he was faced with his death, perhaps out of the 7 days he had when he started, perhaps 4 or 5 had already gone, and he only had 2 more days to live. And he wanted specifically to hear about Krishna. And he had heard all the preparatory topics, which are also about Krishna. But now that time was coming in the ninth canto. And at the very end of the ninth canto is describing the two king dynasties, the royal dynasty of the sun and the moon. And then, because Krishna takes his birth in the moon dynasty. So right in the final chapter of the ninth canto, it happens that Vasudev is described. His father is described, and Vasudev is described, and all the wives of Vasudev are described. And then Sukadev says, and then Balaram and Krishna took birth. And this, practically speaking, was what Maharaj Prickett had been waiting for. He wanted to hear about Krishna. That's described in the end of the first chapter. He told the sages, please talk about Krishna. Please tell me about Krishna. So I wanted to read a few of the verses, what he said, and then hear about Marge Pickett's response and then just read just a few small sections of Srila Prabhupada's purport. So at the end of the ninth canto, he starts talking about why the Supreme Lord comes, yada yada hi dharmas ya glanir bhavat, to destroy the miscreants and to please his devotees. And then he starts describing Krishna. Lord Krishna performed activities by his pleasing smiles, his affectionate behavior, his instructions, and his uncommon pastimes like raising Govardhan Hill. Appearing in this transcendental body, they pleased all human society. He is a person and he has a transcendental body. He is not impersonal. He is not formless. He is not quality free. And he has the quality of mercy, and part of his mercy, his kindness, anugraha, his mercy, is that he performs these pastimes that will attract us. And as Maharaj was saying, by hearing them, we can catch the reflection of the dealings between Krishna and his intimate devotees, and they enter, they affect, they touch our hearts. Then he describes what Krishna looks like, and Maharaj Pickett is hearing this. His face, Krishna's face, is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings that resemble sharks. His ears are very beautiful. His cheeks are brilliant. And his smile, madhuram, 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 it is attractive to all. It is madhugandhi. It is subtle, like the fragrance of honey. It's not like this. It's very, very subtle, and it draws one's mind to it in its attractiveness. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are satisfying for everyone to see. So much so that the devotees who see the face of Krishna are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. So how attractive Krishna must be that the blinking of the eyes is disturbance to one's meditation or ability to see him. And then he said this verse that begins Jato Gata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, he is known as Lila Purushottama. So he is beautiful, but it is not his beauty, it is not static. It's not static. It's not just, we just look at his beauty. But it's in movement, in activities, in dealings with his beloved devotees, and therefore he is called Lila Purushottama. He's engaging in leelas or pastimes or dramas almost with his dearest devotees that increase their ecstasy to the highest, and it increases his ecstasy because their ecstasy is increased, and because his ecstasy is increased, their ecstasy is increased. And this is eternally without limit, expanding the ecstasy of Braj. So in this verse, which is, he says, Lila Purushottama performed these activities, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. He wanted to taste his dealings with those who he had the deepest, most intimate, loving relationships with. And because he is like that, wanting to taste rasa, or loving relationship, we being his part and parcel, mama angsa jivaloke jivabhutasa, we are his part, so we have that same tendency, wanting to taste relationship. Loving relationship. So he left Mathura to come to Vrindavan because he's Abhigya Swarat. He is all-knowing and he is completely independent. He alone can do whatever he likes. He is Swatantra. He is completely independent. So what did he do with his independence? He crossed the river Jamuna and went with his devotees, the Brajabasis in Gokul. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterward he returned to Dwarka, where according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women and begot through them hundreds of sons and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of household life. He performed Nadalila, acting somewhat like a human being. But everything was on the transcendental ecstatic platform, the platform of ecstasy, beyond that which motivates our activities of this world. He is beyond that. He is Swatantra. We are pushed, and he is transcendental. We are pushed, whipped, forced to act in ways that we don't even want to act in, that don't bring us what we so much desire. But Krishna is independent. And this, what we're going to hear in all the presentations, is how Krishna acts. He's independent. So that means he's acting by his free will. And this is what the unlimitedly powerful, all-knowing, supreme, oldest, eternal, supreme person, how he chooses to act. And it is all in relationship with his most beloved confidential devotees. And when Sukadeva spoke this, Maharaj Prickett, who was soon to die, he became so excited. And the whole 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is an expansion, an explanation of this particular verse. So immediately Maharaj Prickett began to speak. And he said, "You have described the descendants of Yadu. Kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Krishna who appeared in the Yadu dynasty with Balaram. Please, I want to hear. Please tell me elaborately. He is the cause of the entire material existence. But yet, his confidential activities are here in Vrindavan. He causes the entirety of material existence. He's unlimited, but yet this is how he chooses to act. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities in detail, from the beginning of his life to the end of his life." And then the famous verse, Nivritta Tarshaya Bhagiyamanam Bhavoshadashutamanam Brahman, that these activities for those souls who are exalted, this places them in relationship, they're experiencing everything that they hear. They're experiencing Krishna's presence. And for the rest of us who may not be on that level, it acts as Oshud. It acts as medicine. But this medicine that brings us slowly or quickly to the highest platform, it is not bitter. It is Shodhama Brahma. It brings pleasure to the mind, to the heart, hearing about Krishna. And who would not do this, take this medicine? It tastes so good. Because what is the medicine? Because it cures us of our attraction. It overwhelms our attraction to the land of shadows by placing us in touch with reality, with the full-blown reality of spiritual existence. And this is the Krishna Katha that we want to partake of. From one of Prabhupada's purports here, one line: one who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And this was the first request, and this is Maharaj mentioned at the last retreat. This is more or less our theme: turn to Krishna. So one who seeks shelter, so that turning means seeking shelter, turning to Krishna for shelter. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. Do you believe that? Then I will offer my obeisances to you all. I recently heard a talk that Prabhupada, he was speaking to someone. It was a room conversation. And he said, if there is anyone who is a servant of the Lord's servants, of God's servants, I am that person's servant. And if anyone says that there is no Lord, I will kick on his face with boots. Typical Prabhupada. So, immediately protected by the Lord, let us take shelter of him. And one why did Krishna, he asked, he was so eager to hear, why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of his father Vasudeva? Why did he transfer to the home of Nanda and Vrindavan? Why? He was there hearing. He was present. He wasn't passive. He was active. He wanted to hear. He wanted to experience. He wanted to know everything. He wanted to enter. Why did all this happen? And what did he do? Where did he live with the residents of Vrindavan? And then there's two more little purport sections. Here's one. And the nourishment that we are looking for. Well, here's what Prabhupada said in one of his purports to 13. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Our thirst is for the spiritual realm, but we're trying to, there's a good word for it in English, but I can't remember it. We're trying to quench our thirst with matter. That's really a good, even better than the one I was thinking of. We have a thirst that's of a particular caliber, of a particular subtlety, of a subtle fragrance, spiritual fragrance. And we're trying to gorge ourselves with matter. And therefore, it is gross and it doesn't satisfy us. And we tend to just try to pour more and more matter in because of our lack of satisfaction. But the world is suffering from a spiritual thirst. And every living being is a spirit soul who needs spiritual food. And that is our hope here. To have a banquet of spiritual food that you can... that turn to it and take more and more, eat to your full satisfaction, get fully nourished. To satisfy the hunger and thirst, we need spiritual food. Unfortunately, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha, and the Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha, because there is something of a different realm that comes to us. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. And one little other part of Prabhupada's purport to the third verse. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contaminations of Kali Yuga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yara, Yara Ideka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesha, about preaching. And why is preaching so important? And then Prabhupada says, it's because you get to benefit others by speaking about Krishna. And you get to hear yourself. Both. So this is the mission of Krishna consciousness. This is the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. To hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Okay, it appears to be getting darker. I don't know if anyone noticed, but it's probably just time that... Prashanta, do you want to give us some guidance about getting to where we're going?
Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki. So I don't know about you, but after hearing the introductions, I feel very much excited to sit in the classes. The wonderful classes of the Govardhan Retreat. As we heard, this Govardhan Retreat started in 2002, 17 years ago. And every year we have been having this pouring of nectar from the speakers. So these first words, introductory words, were there to bring us together and focus us and make us understand what this retreat is about and what will happen to us by applying ourselves to the process of Shravanam. I would like to thank very much Sachinandan Maharaj, Burijan Prabhu, and Jagatarini Mataji for their wonderful introductions. There is a second part to this first day, to this opening of the Govardhan Retreat, which will be held in a different location. So as soon as I finish speaking, I'll request all of you to go back down the stairs and come out through the main gate on the street of Jatipura, and then take a right and then enter the first door that you will find on the right. It's a garden, Gopinath's garden. And as you enter and go within that garden, then you will find a pandal. And that will be the venue for most of our sessions. And there we are going to hear again from Sachinandan Maharaj, Burijan Prabhu, Jagatarini Mataji. But we will also hear from Madhavananda Prabhu and from Adipurush Prabhu. We have five teachers for the Govardhan Retreat. So we will hear the introduction to their classes.